Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Kind of lose track of time in days like this, you know. But it's good to see everybody. Great job, everyone. Come on, Harry Pressman, you make a good Jew. All right. Well, today we are celebrating Tabernacles, the last of the fall feasts, which Bob told us about already. But it actually begins. Does anybody know exactly what time it begins? The feast begins, technically, 6:31. We're almost there, 5:25. Well, as Bob mentioned, it's the most prominent feast. It's mentioned more than any other feast in Scripture. And it's also the most joyful and festive of all of Israel's feasts, which is why we say Chag Sameach, which means Happy Holidays. So I want you to turn to somebody and say, now don't spit on them now. So I say, Chag Sameach. Ha. Ha ha. Got to get the ha down. Good job. All right, well, 2 weeks ago in Rosh Hashanah, we gave a prophetic overview of the fall feast, suggesting that we may be in what the Bible refers to as the last days or the final days. We looked at the Feast of Trumpets, and prophetically, the Feast of Trumpets points to Israel's return to the land. May 15th, 1948, was a world-changing event. The trumpet sounded to awaken all those who have ears to hear that the prophecy, Isaiah 66, verse 8 to 9, was literally fulfilled when Israel was born again in one day. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Yes. So trumpets or Rosh Hashanah prophetically points to Israel's return to the land. That has happened. Amen. Fulfilled. Okay, so if trumpets prophetically points to Israel's return to the land, the Day of Atonement points to Israel's returning to the Lord. That's right. 1967, the natural before the spiritual. What happened? 67, Six-Day War. Five Arab armies surrounding Israel, attacked Israel. And miraculously, Israel wins the war. Nobody thought it could happen. Not only did they win the war, but they captured Jerusalem, marking for the first time in 2,000 years that Jerusalem was no longer trodden down by the Gentiles, to quote Jesus, but was now, for the first time in 2,000 years, back under Jewish sovereignty. Come on. So the natural before the spiritual, that was the natural. The spiritual event, same year, 1967, was also the birth of the Messianic movement and the greatest revival, the greatest Jewish revival since the first century. Wow. More Jews have come to know Yeshua Jesus in the last 50, 60 years, I'm one of them, than in 1,900 years combined since the first century. Zechariah said, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of compassion and supplication so that when they, who? The Jews, Jewish people, Fred Lessons, look on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn son. Our eyes were opened. The veil was removed to see the fulfillment of not only that, but Isaiah 53, that surely he was pierced for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. Hallelujah. Thousands of Jewish eyeballs were opened starting in 1967, birthing the Messianic movement, greatest Jewish revival since the first century. And Jewish believers are back in the land for the first time in 2,000 years. Come on. So if trumpets points to Israel's return to the land, the Day of Atonement points to Israel's return to the Lord, guess what tabernacles points to? The return of the Lord. The final feast when the kingdom shall come on earth as it is in heaven, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Come on. It's a day we all hope for and long for. And it's a day which Jesus taught us to pray for, didn't he? What's that prayer say with me? Our Father, who art in heaven. Come on. Hallowed be thy name. Thy
kingdom come.
Thy where? On earth as it is in heaven. The culmination. Jesus taught us to pray that prayer for the culmination of the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. No wonder the kingdom of God was the core of Jesus' message. Do you realize that? Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God more than, he used that term more than any other term. He used it over 100 times. Give you a glimpse. He announced it at the beginning of his public ministry. We read Mark 1:14 that Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Matthew describes Jesus' ministry by saying Jesus went through all the towns and villages preaching the good news of the
kingdom
and healing every disease. Matthew again reports that when Jesus sent out the 12, he did so with this instruction: as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. We're at hand. Are we on the same page here? Okay. Come on. Nicholas, talk to this thing for me. Okay. Where are we? Matthew 9. All right. Matthew 10. Jesus. Eric, no. Yes. All right, we'll get it right. Jesus introduces parables saying the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like a what? It's like a mustard seed. Smallest of all seeds, but it grows to become the greatest of shrubs, the greatest of trees, so that all the birds of the air can find a home. Kingdom of God is like a little bit of leaven that a lady put into her dough of bread, and what did it do? It grew, it leavened the whole loaf. As we just said, Jesus made his first petition in his prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And to Nicodemus, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the
kingdom
of God. Even after the resurrection, what did Jesus talk about to his disciples for 40 days?
The kingdom of
God. To them, he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. Saul, you know, that kind of Jewish rabbi became whatever he became, apostle to the nations. His message was no different. What did he say? By the way, that was a selfie he took. Not bad. And he expounded the matter to them from morning till evening, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him preaching the and teaching about the Lord Jesus quite openly and unhindered. So you can see the core of Jesus' message, the core of Paul's message was the kingdom of God, the final feast, which points to the coming of the kingdom of God. But what exactly is the kingdom of God? Has anybody ever asked you, well, Melissa, what is the kingdom of God? Please tell me, I don't understand. Okay, that's good, that's good. But for a lot of people, it's difficult to, you know, to like, well, really, what is the, it's difficult to conceptualize. Perhaps it's due to most of us have never lived in a kingdom under a king. Now, for Nicholas's 30th birthday, my family, we all went to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
It was great fun. It was great fantasy, but it doesn't count. So what did people hear when they heard the message of a coming kingdom? Well, let's go back 2,000 years. When a new Caesar ascended the throne, they would do what? They would send a message via, well, there's a magic kingdom, via a messenger, not to be confused with messenger, throughout the land announcing the good news, something like this: behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The rule and reign of a new Caesar has come. Now think about that. Think about that announcement in conjunction with how radical, amazing Jesus' message is, that where he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. He's announcing that a new Caesar has come, the rightful king who will establish the righteous kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And to say that Jesus is Lord is not exactly good news to Caesar, because if Jesus is Lord, guess who's not Lord? Caesar is not Lord if Jesus is Lord. And a lot of Christians got in trouble because they were saying what? Jesus is Lord. Got a lot. There was a what ensued was the proclamation created a conflict of kingdoms. Two kingdoms in conflict, clashing together, confrontation, because they couldn't coexist together. And we know what happened to the early Christians. They were fed to the lions. Nero tarred them up and hung them around his palace, burned them as lanterns. It was not a good time in one sense, but it was the greatest time because the gospel spread throughout the empire. Well, you know, it's not a whole lot different today. Two kingdoms are still in conflict. And even today, things are heating up. Now, you may recognize at least the guy on your right. Who's the guy on your right? Who's the guy on your left? Sorry, I got a reverse direction here. Who's the guy on your left? Vice President Michael Pence. Okay, now some of you don't know the guy on your the other guy. His name is Dennis Prager. Now, if you don't know Dennis Prager, you've got to get to know Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager, he's had a radio talk show for over 30 years, nationally syndicated. He's a prolific author. He's lectures all over the world. He started in 2011. He started Prager University, which is an online university, and they teach people, teach through 5-minute videos, all kinds of subjects. Started in 2011, he now has over 2 billion views. The first billion took the first 6 years. The second billion was just this past year. That's how fast it's growing. You've got to check it out. Anyhow, this is a very short excerpt one of his radio broadcasts, and he's talking about Vice President Mike Pence, and he's referencing the attack that he got simply by mentioning that he will never be alone with a woman without somebody else present. Following the example of Billy Graham. Billy Graham, made a commitment that he would never be alone with a woman without somebody else present. So Mike Pence is following the same example. Well, he got blitzed for it by the media. So this is just, what you hear is Dennis Prager's little commentary on this, which just gives a little example of how things are heating up.
Do you realize that when Mike Pence announced that he would not, his policy has been, he discussed this with us. His policy as a religious man is that he's never alone with a woman. And what he does is he has somebody, another man or another woman present. You know, he was attacked vigorously. Please understand, I know this, but not many people know this. The ultimate hatred of the left, the ultimate, is Christianity.
I cut it there. By the way, he's an Orthodox Jew. And he's observing what's going on in our country, and he's saying the ultimate enemy of the left is Christianity and Christians. That's just one small example of how things are heating up. And if the representatives of the extreme left ever get into a place of power, get ready. Get ready. The gladiators, the arena might come. So the kingdom of God is the reign of God versus the reign of Caesar on earth as it is in heaven, the rightful king establishing his righteous kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But there is a mystery to the kingdom. What is the mystery? Jesus said this. Oh, by the way, there's Lynn. With Dennis Prager. You just met him just the other day, right? It's typical in medically. She goes to a conference, she like gets to know the top people right away. Good job, Lynn. Did you say hello for me? Tell me, Fred Lessons is, Okay, all right. So, mystery of the kingdom. Jesus says, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. What is the mystery? It's not only a future event, it's a present reality. For the Jewish people, when they thought the kingdom of God, it was going to come at the end of the age, in the future. Here's Yeshua, Jesus, saying, the kingdom of God is now. It's not just not yet, it's now, it's at hand. It's right in your midst. It's even within you, or will be. So the kingdom of God, as we said, it's like a mustard seed. It's already beginning to transform the world. It's like a mustard seed. It's like yeast that leavens the whole lump. The mystery of the kingdom is both now and it's not yet. In other words, we're not just going back to the future, in case you saw that movie. We are living in the presence of the future. We are living in the presence of the future. That's why it's such good news. Because the kingdom is not only a future promise, but a present reality, which according to Hebrews 6:4, we can taste now of the powers of the age to come. What is the age to come? It's the kingdom of God. You, Paul Orman, Lynn Aron, Nicholas Lessons, we can taste now the promise and the powers of the kingdom of God, the age to come, which is why Jesus tells us to seek first the what? The kingdom of God. Why? Because he wants us to possess the promise and the power now. The promise and the power to be not overcome by life's sorus. Does anybody know what sorus is? Troubles. By life's troubles and problems and circumstances, which we all experience. But not to be overcome, but to overcome. Yeah. So that we can know the promise and the power to become not bitter people, but better people. So we can know the promise and the power to be happy. Does anybody want to be happy? To be healthy, even if you're not wealthy. And my wife has a little, she just told me this, she has this, what would you call it? A little jingle. Tell us what it is.
Me in you, and you in me, together we have the victory.
I love it. Me in Christ, and Christ in me, together we have the victory. Why? Because we can taste now, we can experience now the power of the age to come. The power of the kingdom of God now. Finally, the kingdom of God is good news because the kingdom, Jesus said, will spread throughout the earth as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14, which is really the beginning, for the end of the age is the beginning of a new age when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Say with me, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yeshua, hallelujah. All right, so let's welcome Randy back up. And he's going to lead us to this final ceremony, which speaks of this reality.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks. Let's give Fred a hand, all right? Thank you. Amen.